Hello, one and all, and welcome to the podcast we call The Fantastival. In the podcast, where I invite my guests to come on, talk to me all about their musical tastes, memories, experiences, and they get to collate their fantasy festivals, which I have christened Fantastivals. You are now listening to this in 2022. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a great Christmas and a New Year period. I had a lovely break from podcasting. Now I am back. I'm as eager as ever to do as many Fantastivals as I can in 2022. I had such a fun time in 2021 doing quite a few Fantastivals, actually, but having the most amazing experience doing it. So with a mixture of guests from established artists to new artists to just mates and workmates, which was an absolutely fantastic experience. I mean, looking back now, looking at 2021 and looking at the list that I had, people like Nigel Clark from Dodgy, Keith Mullin from The Farm, Damon from Ocean Colour Scene, Brandon from Flickerstick, Steve Firth from Embrace, Pete from Cast, all bands that I'd grown up with and listened to, and I'm just thrilled to have those people on the Fantastical podcast. As well as that, I found some amazing new artists out there. New artists are out there. You just need to go and find them. Sam Lambeth, my guest on episode 58, probably my favourite album of last year. Lyle Kennedy from Le Club Royale, episode 59. Great episode, that one. The Murray Brothers from Arcade State, episode 65. Love those guys. My most listened track to last year on Spotify was by their fantastic band. Great guys. Jody Finley from Sylvie, episode 74. And Paul from Three Little Wolves, episode number 76. Some amazing experiences in 2021. And I hope that continues in 2022. So this is episode number 78. So the episode's continuing now, as I guess we're getting closer, ever closer to 100. This episode was recorded back in December last year in 2021. I was thrilled to have this gent onto the podcast. He's a fellow podcaster like me, so he knows how hard it is to get an established podcast and how hard you have to work. And other than that, he was just an absolutely great guy, really passionate about music, has his own podcast that you may or may have not listened to. His own podcast is called Four Songs and a Dream. It's fantastic. It's available on all good podcasting platforms. So after you listen to this fantastic episode, go and listen to that podcast if you haven't done so already. Quite similar in terms of people talking about music, but particular songs that mean a lot to them. Really good. So the guest on this episode is the fantastic Sean Panda Nicholson. Great guy, great chat. Thank you, Sean, for coming onto the podcast. So this is the Fantastival podcast number 78 with Sean Panda Nicholson.
Hey, it's me. How are we doing,
Sean? All yes. Good, delighted to have you on the podcast. Always a host, never a guest until this evening.
I know, it's very odd. I find it's weird because I'm gonna have to do a lot more talking than I usually do. Because I'm more of the kind of guide, the Sherpa of the conversation rather than the person doing it. But I think it's been good fun. It's really good fun sort of choosing the people, like the acts.
I like it. It's exactly what it should be. And, you know, I guess as a guest, it can be quite nerve-wracking. And hopefully it won't be for you tonight. And like I said at the top, probably most people know you and will know your voice as the voice of your own podcast, Four Songs and a Dream. But in case anyone doesn't know anything about you, Sean, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I think there's about two or three people that in the world that don't listen to the podcast, I think. But yes, I mean, I'm from the Isle of Skye, which is like the middle of nowhere up in Scotland. And I was going through a tough time. And then I was kind of, a therapist kind of said, why don't you get back into radio? And then I decided to not do that because of the commitment, but I was listening to podcasts and that kind of inspired me to make my own. And I thought, if I've got the format of four songs, I can at least, if I run out of steam, I can always go, right, what's song number two? You know, I can always have that as a backup. And at the start, I was a bit worried because it's, you know, I thought it was like, this is exactly the same as Desert Island Discs, really. But it's not, because it's not like your favourite songs either. It has to be your songs that mean something to you. Not necessarily your favourite. So, like, I mean, there's songs like My Girl. I had, when my first a child was born, who happened to be a boy, actually. But that song started playing on the radio as soon as he was born, the second he was born. And like, there's songs like Enrique Iglesias' Escape. My dad had the CD single of that, and he didn't have anything else in the car with him, and we had to listen to that for 7 hours once on a journey. So that, it's important to me in that way, but it's not a song I would ever choose to listen to. Yes, my podcast, I've had loads of people on it. I've had like over 100 people, and I'm still going strong. I don't think it's actually stopping. And I won't ever stop because I love it. So just listen to it, okay? I want everyone to listen to it. Everyone.
So let's do a shameless plug in this early into this podcasting. So Four Songs and a Dream is essentially guests come on, talk to you a bit about music and then select four songs that mean something to them. And it's a great podcast. There's been a few crossovers, haven't there? So I think we've both had Ricky Spence on. I feel like Jodie Finley has been on the Fantastival and is upcoming as one of your guests from the Fantastic Sylvie. So it's a great podcast to listen to. So Sean, where can someone listen to it if someone does want to listen to it?
Pretty much anywhere. I usually share the Apple podcast, but that's just because I listen to it there. But it's also on Spotify. It's on pretty much everywhere. I think everywhere that you can get podcasts, it's there. I'm pretty sure it's everywhere. If there's somewhere that it isn't, you can send me a message and I will get it there.
Brilliant stuff. So like I said, I normally ask people how they've been at the start of the podcast, but I was so excited about having a fellow podcaster on, I kind of skipped that how are you bit. But I feel like I should go back. It's only like polite to say, like, it's been a fairly difficult 2 years. I mean, in the last 2 years, I started the Fantastival on the back of not being able to do my own football podcast, because that took a break. So it's kind of had different kind of journeys and experiences for everyone. How have you found the last 2 years?
It's not been bad. I kind of feel bad saying that, you know. I think a lot of people do, but it's been kind of good in a way that everybody, you know, you don't feel guilty about not doing anything for a day because everybody was in the same boat at one point. And like, I don't know, it's given me more time to think about stuff. I mean, I was working throughout all the lockdowns and things, doing, because I'm like a janitor, a glorified janitor, I think it has a special name, but we've just been carrying on, and but it's been quite nice to sort of, I don't know, I've had more time to think about, I don't know, hobbies, things I wanted to do, things, you know, there's less stress, I think. I feel really bad about saying all that. I mean, I've been quite stressed, like me and my wife as well, she's been quite stressed about the whole, obviously, the COVID in general, but we're quite lucky where we live. It's not, you know, as bad as like a city, say, you know, you kind of know everybody who's got COVID at the time and you can stay well away. But yeah, I'm kind of rambling a lot here, but
rambling is good. Don't worry about rambling.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a sort of thread in my head there. What was I going to say? Yes, but it's been okay. It's been all right. It's been quite nice to sort of, I've been quite lucky because I've been able to get guests as well for my podcast that I might not have got if we hadn't. They would have been a lot busier, I think, if we weren't in all these lockdowns and horrible pandemic times. But also, it's pretty scary. It's still quite scary. It still doesn't feel real, I suppose, in a way, you know? I think it's because I've not been personally affected by it, you know? I think if I had, then yes, it definitely would be. And I don't know. I'm going to keep rambling.
No problem with rambling. So obviously, you have your own music podcast, so I'm presuming you're a massive music fan, and I'm guessing that's what's made you do your music podcast. But in terms of your own musical taste, what music are you into, Sean? Are you into a varied amount of stuff? Do you have one genre in particular that does it for you? What floats your boat?
Well, very varied. It's like, I will listen, I will give anything a try. But mostly, if I have to say like a genre, it's sad indie music made by men. that's probably, I have the most miserable music taste. Like if I want to listen to something, it will be a man moaning about something. But you know, I do like, I really love like hip hop and stuff, but I still haven't sort of like explored it enough to say that I know enough about it. But I am getting there because I did have someone on my podcast, 76, check him out, he's really great. he uh he introduced me to quite a few hip hop artists and stuff, and it's opened a whole can of worms. But I love that. I love sort of discovery. It doesn't matter what kind of music it is, I will always try it, you know. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any genre of music that I hate. And maybe, like, and this just might be because of where I'm from, but traditional Scottish music does grate a bit. it has a place, I think, but I wouldn't choose to listen to it.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Everyone has one that they don't particularly like, but it sounds like you've got a very, very varied taste in music. Is there anything at the moment, Sean, that you're listening to that's you're enjoying?
Oh, there's so much. It's mainly like I've been listening to a lot of like indie artists because of the podcast. I think I just get I'm inundated with songs and things to listen to. But there's people like I don't know if you've heard of Mount Doubt. Is someone I really love, and he's a really nice guy as well. Leo, and Broken Chanter is another one. Man of the Minch. I could go on for ages, and I might. I've got Mitchell Museum are one of, you know, they're right up there. Sorry, my dogs are fighting now. If you hear some noise, that is what it is. Like Dictator, and you know, there's like Lovers Turn to Monsters, Beer Jacket, Pelts, The Hanna-Barberas, Pale Fire, Foreign Fox. I have like a massive list of people, and there's so many good people out there. It's hard. Like, I find it really difficult to get into sort of chart music these days because I've seen what's out there. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like there's more of a, I feel like I can get more of a connection. I can feel the music more when I know maybe have some sort of connection to the people who are making it. If that makes sense, you can kind of, I feel like it feels more real than just something that's been made up in a studio by people, by faceless, I suppose maybe like faceless producers and songwriters and stuff, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes, that makes perfect sense. I think one of the things that I found through the Fantastival is that there's a huge kind of unsigned, not even unsigned, because they could, these bands are on par with the bands that you're hearing on the radio, and these acts are as well, but there's a huge kind of scene that all kind of know each other and support each other that I wasn't aware of prior to doing this podcast, which is kind of nice and refreshing. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times back when I was kind of a teenager or like late teens, early 20s, bands didn't like each other and they'd be out in the press slagging each other off, whereas everyone on social media within their own kind of band groups is saying, oh, you should listen to this band or this act, and this act are really good. And it always seems like everyone's complimenting one another. And there's lots of bands and acts to be complimenting. So that's really, really good. Have you got any highlights from 2021 at all? You said chart music, and I generally don't listen to much chart music, but I think for me, the Killers album like blew my face off a little bit. I had Biffy Clyro Biffy were a band who I loved and then kind of didn't love so much through the last couple of albums, but the last one last year kind of really reinvigorated my love for Biffy. And I've had that a bit this year with The Killers, where apart from their first album, I was a bit like, oh, it's all a bit meh. But then I listened to their new album, just took a whim on it, and then I was absolutely spellbound by it. Anything for you, Sean, that's kind of caught your eye particularly like in this year?
I know, but what I want to say about that Killers album, I love that album. I don't even know what it's called, but I can see the cover right now. It was one of those ones that I'd done as well. I put it on a whim. I was like, I'll listen to the new Killers, why not? But it's really, really good. I did not expect it. But that's probably a highlight as well for me. Again, most of my highlights are things that are independent. I mean, like Broken Chanter's Catastrophe Hits is an album I absolutely love. It came out last month. And Annie Booth's album, Lazy Body, came out the other day. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy her music. And Man of the Minch, I've mentioned him. I mentioned all these people that I'm going to... I don't want to be like plugging people, but there is so much great stuff out there. I'm trying to think of things that are like more mainstream, and you know, but I can't even think, you know, like, because most of what I listen to, well, here's somebody that I've really, I don't know, like Sam Fender. I'd never thought of him before, and I heard that 17 Going Under recently, and I love that song. I think it's amazing. I think a guy is so, like, I think Sylvie said it, or was it you that said it, like, he's someone that seems to, like, he has wisdom beyond his years, or he seems to, I don't know, he just, for someone who's so young, and he just seems like a normal lad, but he's got some really deep stuff going on in there.
Yeah, he and sure has.
Yeah. I really need to listen to more of him, because I haven't heard his other album. It's a Hypersonic Missile.
Oh, yeah,
something?
Yeah. His first album was really good, actually. Again, I took a chance on a whim, I think on the train home from work one day, and was literally, like, almost speechless with what he was singing about. Yeah, a lot wiser than what his young age would have you believe. So talking about young ages then, Sean, let me take you back to when you was a wee lad, a wee nipper. I'm not sure how old you are. I won't ask on this podcast, but I always like to find out about people's first records and first singles. And again, I must talk about Sylvie. And as we record today, we mentioned Michelle McManus in the last podcast, and she's interacted with the podcast on social media on this very day, which has been great fun having that. So Sean, what was your first what was your first single and record that you bought?
Right, well, it's very hard to it's hard to sort of remember, but if I had to hazard a guess, because a lot of the time when I was younger, it was always compilations, like Now tapes, and I remember when there was CDs first came about. Dogs, stop making so much noise. Cam. They're just playing, but they're irritating. Yes, well, I mean, like, yeah, it was mostly the compilations and stuff, because we had lots of car journeys because of how far away we lived from civilization. It was like, you know, like 7 hours to go visit my aunties and stuff. So that was like 7 hours down there and 7 hours back. So we'd have lots of time in the car listening to tapes and stuff. But the first thing I remember buying, well, it was actually two things I remember buying, would be Shania Twain, that Don't Impress Me Much on cassette, and Ronan Keating, You Say It Best When You Say Nothing At All. And those are the two things I remember buying, the earliest things, two tapes. And I don't know, they're not exactly songs I listen to now, but I loved pop music as a child. Like, yeah, absolutely loved it. I was insane for it. And I think, you know, even though it's a lot of it's not, you know, it probably doesn't hold up now, but I think that's what started it all, you know, all this music, all this pop music of the day.
Well, both those artists still going strong. So to be fair, Ronan and Shania still performing those songs, I would say, on pretty big stages. So it wasn't only you who was out buying them, I would say, Sean. So this podcast is all about you collecting your fantasy festival. Are you a big festival fan? You like festivals? Have you been to many?
Well, I've been to some. I haven't been to some for a while, since having children. It kind of, you know, not, I was going to say it kind of ruined it, but I have good memories now. Instead of not having memories. I really liked him. Like, Rockness was something that I quite enjoyed. I think people have talked about that before, but it was something else. And obviously there was substance abuse there involved, but I remember the bands being so, just such a great lineups and stuff, and seeing Placebo, and like, not even on a massive stage, you know, getting to see Placebo and getting to see Biffy Clyro and Frightened Rabbit. So many great bands back then. Prodigy, that was something that was mental, because I'd never seen the Prodigy live until then, and they were just wow. And I also, my first festival and my first gig ever was Tea in the Park. I don't know what year. It must have been, it was like late 90s. And that was just insane. My dad took me, and it was just like the best bands at the time that I was into, all in the one place. You had like Muse, you had Placebo again, you had Dandy Warhols, you had David Gray, you had Coldplay when they just started out, and you had who else was it? Stereophonics were the one I went for, because Stereophonics were the band that I absolutely fell in love with as a young lad. And yeah, I mean, yeah, Tina Park was great. But I mean, I do miss festivals, but as well, I'm a lot more nervous now. Like, what do you call it? Anxious, yeah. You know, going places. Like, because I went to a gig last week.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, I remember you. Yeah. You were tweeting about it, wasn't you? You were a bit nervous about going to it. It was your first gig back since lockdown, and you were tweeting about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it was just tiny. Like, it wasn't... There was 30 people there. It wasn't a big thing at all, but... The whole idea of it was driving me mental. I was just like absolutely cramping myself. Just at the thought of it. And I don't know why. It's not as if I was playing at it. But, I don't know, just the idea. I was going myself as well, so that probably didn't help. But but yeah, it's really weird. It's hard. So I can't imagine going back to a festival now because I don't know how I'd cope. But that's more to do with me and my nervousness rather than festivals being a problem. I hate... yeah, I have to say as well, though, the toilet situations at festivals is grim. That's one of the things I do not miss at all.
Very grim. Very grim.
Yes.
So what about... So moving away from festivals, what about gigs you've been to? Are there any gigs for you that you've been to that you look back on and go, wow, that was mind-blowingly good?
Well, I think there's one I might mention later on, but there was like Fright and Drabbit. I didn't add them in my list because I know that other people have. So I tried to steer away from a lot of people that other people had chosen, that I knew that other people had chosen. Yeah. And it was weird. It's one of those ones where, because they're not really from my hometown, they're from my home country. Right. But I mean, it felt like a kind of, I don't know, like, I imagine it's kind of how people feel when their football team wins a big game. It felt like they'd done, because it was a massive gig and everybody was there and we were all singing along, and it just felt the community aspect, I think, was there. And I just, that was... It's one of the most beautiful times, I think. I can't even remember what it was. That's terrible. But, I mean, it was just... I just remember it being one of the most life-changing things. It just... The feeling of all this collective love for these songs. And, oh, I don't know. It was just amazing. who else? What other gigs have I been to that were great? I went and saw a band called Holy Fuck once, which was really good. I went on my own as a student because I just saw the tickets online and I was like, well, they're called Holy Fuck, let's go see them. And it was just they were like a kind of instrumental dancey band, but they were really good. It was amazing. Just, it was weird. I'm trying to think of others. I've been to hundreds of gigs, but it's just... I don't know. You know, I don't want to pick just one. Yeah. But I mean, even the one the other week was amazing. Just the intimacy of the Man of the Minch and Adam Ross. And it felt good, so good to be back. It just, I don't know. Because I have seen a lot of online gigs. And I was kind of like, oh, maybe this is the way forward. We're going to see lots more online gigs. It'll just feel like the old times, but you can do it in your pajamas. But it really doesn't. There's nothing... Nothing feels the same as actually being in the room with the person.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with you.
And they're singing to you.
Yeah. It's almost like you said, that collective community in union singing a whole bunch of songs that you could be next to someone who you've never met before, and 5 seconds later you could be singing in their ear and they can be doing the same to you, that song, and you get that connection with someone. So some great points there. So as you all probably know by now, the aim of the Fantastical podcast is getting Sean to get his fantasy festival. He gets to collate his fantasy festival. He can choose any 5 acts, one of whom must play one of their studio albums in full. And to finish his fantasy festival, Sean gets to pick an encore, which can be any song that all 5 of his acts will perform together at the end of his fantasy festival. So that's very simple. 5 time slots, 5 acts. So you have an opening act slot, a super second slot, a midway madness slot, a pre-headline slot, and a headline slot. And you can fill them with any acts, dead or alive, whoever you like, any genre of music. It's very, very easy. But before we start collating your acts, Sean, you have to give your fantasy festival a name and you have to give your fantasy festival a venue. So, Sean, what are you going to call your fantasy festival?
Okay, well, I went quite simple because my name's Sean Pandanicus and I thought Pandemonium. You know, Pandemonium. There you go, Pandemonium Festival 2022, because that's when it's happening. and I'm going to just put it here in the Isle of Skye, there's a airstrip. They used to do a festival there, a big airstrip. Was it Ashig Airstrip, and in Broadford, and that is like 20 minutes from my house. And it would be nice to have something like this right on my doorstep instead of having to go a long journey to get anywhere.
Perfect. And you get to walk home from your own fantasy festival. I think you've nailed it. I think you've nailed that one. So before we talk about then the five acts who have made your fantasy festival, Sean, there's a lot of acts who probably, I'm guessing, haven't made it already from a lot of acts who you've mentioned. Anyone who you want to shout out before you talk about your five who haven't made it into Pandemonium 2022 for one reason or another?
Well, do you know what? There was loads. Like, I really wanted to put things like Radiohead. I wanted to put REM. These are like bands that mean a lot to me. Even Stereophonics, things like that. But I didn't want to go to... I wanted it to be really, sort of really just about, you know, more to do with me than just people I would love to see at a festival, you know? I wanted it to be a bit more varied as well, because, as I said, I listened to a lot of sad man music. So it could have just been five sad men, and I didn't want that. It actually was at the start when I first put it together. But, yeah, who else? Like, I mean, I was going to say, I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I was saying at this festival there would be a separate tent for indie bands, that the independent Scottish bands, maybe not just Scottish bands, but independent bands, there would be a complete separate tent for that. So that's why I didn't, because I thought as well, if I chose some people, I would be leaving out other people.
Yeah.
So I've tried not to go for people that I know as well. Yeah.
Good way of coming at it.
Yeah.
Don't want to annoy anyone. Okay, you can have your little side tent of indie bands from Scotland, independent bands, who you know, but I'll turn a blind eye to that one, because officially that's not allowed, but I'll turn a blind eye so that tent can go ahead. It's funny you mentioned Stereophonics. They used to be one of my favourite bands as well, and I have kind of fallen out of love with Stereophonics for a few reasons. Well, I saw Stereophonics, not that this is my podcast, but give you a very quick rundown. I saw Stereophonics about just before lockdown struck, and I was so excited. It was a small venue, and I was really disappointed. Not in they were great as a band, they were great, but their choice of like set list. So for me, I wanted to see everything from Word Gets Around and Performance and Cocktails. They are like my two go-to Stereophonics albums, but they've moved on and they're not that band anymore. And I think that night finally confirmed for me that they're not ever going to be that band again. That, you know, they were a three piece. The drummer has passed away since then, and I came away thinking, oh, it's a shame, like they were really good, but I think that literally like closed the line for me going to see the Stereophonics again. I've still listened to their albums, well, the first two albums, and I'll still kind of, if they ever do like a tour around those first two albums, I'd probably go, but I wouldn't go and see like a normal Stereophonics show. But once again, they get mentioned a lot in missed acts, have never been part of a fantasy festival. And they won't be part of Pandemonium, although Radiohead and REM have been inclusions before. So some great acts are missing out on Pandemonium, Sean. I guess it's probably time to talk about the five acts who are going to make an appearance. So 2 o'clock,
okay.
Lovely day, Pandemonium sold out. You can be wherever you want. You can be backstage, you can be side of the stage, you can be at front, you can be at the back. You can have a little pit just for you to stop any anxiousness that's creeping in. 2 o'clock.
Oh, sounds great.
Time to welcome your first act onto the stage. So, Sean, who's going to open Pandemonium?
Right. This is an odd choice, but stick with me. I'm going with Nina Simone, right? Because I want to... First of all, Nina Simone is Nina Simone, and Nina Simone is amazing. Second of all, she's got a bit of a reputation of having... Well, she had a bit of a reputation of being... a bit difficult to audience members who were not listening and not behaving. So I think she'd kind of be really good to start off and maybe sort a few people out, maybe, you know, get the right people in the festival, you know, I'm hoping. Because I think even, was it like in a club, she once like took a knife out on a guy because he was talking during her performance and stuff. So, I mean, And yes, and her music is amazing. And it's not too in your face. You can slowly come into it. This is easing you into the festival. Nina Simone's beautiful music in your ears, and she won't take any shit. So she'll be like, "Get those phones down. You're not filming it. You're watching it. Okay, that's it. I don't care. I know your dad couldn't make it, but he can't. No, he can't watch it. I'm sorry. If he didn't come, he can't watch it." yeah, so that's what I'm thinking of Nina Simone.
Great choice. So Nina Simone makes her second Fantasy Festival appearance. She's not been picked in a long time, but she takes the opening act slot at Pandemonium 2022. She'll play a range of her stuff. That'll be an amazing hour that she'll play from 2 till 3 o'clock. We'll take a break for half hour. That'll take us to 3:30. Then it'll be time for your Super Seconds act, Sean. They get to play your second act from 3:30 to 4:30. So who's going to take your Super Seconds slot, Sean?
Right. Well, this was mainly just a band I really love and I wanted to see, but I never got the opportunity to see, and now they're not together anymore. So hopefully they will get together again one day, you know, maybe 10 years down the line, do some sort of anniversary thing. But it's Wild Beasts. Oh. I loved that band when they were about. I loved the whole progression. Because if you listen to each of their albums, you can hear them coming on and on and on and getting putting different layers to their music. And they were just insane. I actually was able to get one of them on my podcast recently, which was amazing. Yeah, it was Tom. He was one of the loveliest people I've had on as well, which was amazing because I was so nervous about having someone that I was so into. And but as well, I think the Wild Beasts as well, they kind of symbolise for me, they were a big turning point as well. Like, I remember making it big. It was a big sort of, I was getting into like dance music in college with my friends, but I wasn't really into it, I don't think, as much as they were. And then I saw Wild Beasts on Jules Holland, and I'd never heard of them before, and they were doing All the King's Men, I think the song was. And it blew my mind, I think, because it's that kind of pageantry I like, you know, about music. There's like people like Adam Ant and things, and David Bowie. I like the whole personas they put on and things like that. And Wild Beast, the song was, I'm not even sure what the song's about, but it conjures up so many images, and it blew my mind. It blew my mind, and that performance blew my mind, and I always wanted to see them live, but I never got the chance. And they are now, as I said, they're not together anymore. But you never know. You never know. I haven't got any inside story on it or anything. You know, I don't know if they're getting back together, but they're not together at the moment.
Well, I'm sure if anything's going to bring them back together, it will be Pandemonium, and it's your Fantasy Festival, so they're going to play it for you. So Wild Beasts make their first Fantasy Festival appearance at Pandemonium. They'll take your Super Second slot from 3:30 to 4:30. So two acts down, another 3 to go. This time your Midway Madness slot from 5 till 6, Sean. So who's going to follow Wild Beasts and play your Midway Madness slot?
Right. This, again, is a band that I really wanted to see, but they weren't around a lot. They weren't around long enough for me to have ever seen them. But it's Test Icicles. Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do. I do remember them, yeah.
Yeah, they're about for like 2 years or something. But I think I would love them to do their whole album for screening purposes only. I know the Sam Mirren is no longer around. So there will never be a reunion, I'm guessing. But like, they were so, I really loved that band. I loved the fact that they had gotten so into like the mainstream, even though their music was in no way mainstream. At all. And some of it's nearly unlistenable sometimes. They've got there's like a remix album of their album, and some of it is just, I don't want to say terrible, but it's not my kind of thing. But it's the fact that they took all these chances and they made this kind of weird music, and I would love to see that live at a festival, because I've watched some live videos on YouTube of them, and it just looks like a lot of fun, and they look like they're having fun. And I don't know, sometimes I'm like, I like watching it and going, how are they making the sound come out of everything? I just love it. I think, yeah, there's something really special. I mean, because like, what's his name? Dev Haynes, who was, is that his real name? Who was the guitarist and singer on some of the songs, but he's now like Blood Orange, and he does lots of, and he was Lightspeed Champion for a bit as well, if you remember that, but that's something else. Yeah, but he does a lot of like poppier type stuff now, and but you can see all the like the innovation he was doing in this band, and I just loved them. I thought they were amazing, and they were only around for like a year or two at the most, but they blew my mind. And I obviously never got the chance to see them because they're from England, and I don't think they've really done much.
Yeah, well, they'll blow your mind once again, Sean, because they play Midway Madness at Pandemonium 2022. So Test Icicles make their fantastic debut. They play Sean's Midway Madness slot from 5 till 6. So 3 acts down, 2 acts left to go. So your pre-headline act slot and your headline act slot still up for grabs. Your pre-headline acts are going to get an hour and a half to play from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So Sean, who's going to be your pre-headline act?
Well, this is a band that just have the energy and they have the songs, so I think they would just get everybody going mental. And it's the Hives. I love the Hives. I think they just, they have everything. They have the charisma, they have the fast riffs, they have just, the songs are so good and they're great to scream. They're just great. It doesn't even matter what you're screaming. You could just be going that, 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 and it would just, it would work. It would work with the song, and we could all sing along, and we'd all be having a great time. It would be fantastic. I would love for them to be at that, in that slot. I think they were always one that I wanted to pick. I just didn't know where to put them at the start. I was thinking about putting them at the start to, you know, just as a blistering opener. But I thought, if because of who my headliner is, I didn't want anyone. I wanted someone nice and fast and sing alongy and get the crowd all hyped up.
Great choice. The first time they've been chosen for a fantasy festival. I mean, I remember when the Hives first came out, they seemed to come out of nowhere. And I remember they were suddenly on the cover of Enemy. They were talking about having ghostwriters, if you remember that. They all wore the same suits. And it's just like a blast of what is this? I think you mentioned Jules Holland earlier. I think I saw him for the first time on Jules Holland. And it was like 3 minutes of like utter chaos.
Yeah, that's what I love about them. I think, like, and the guy's hitting the guitar so hard, but he's not missing a note. His hands going in a windmill and just, they're just amazing. And they seem to know they're, like, everything seems very well done. I mean, just, they're not just, I don't know, like, I've seen some bands in the past, I'm not going to say, but they sound so polished on a record, but they sound awful live, you know, like awful, just disgusting. But like the Hives, I don't know, they managed to get the energy into the CDs as well, I think. You know, I can't listen to a Hives album without just feeling like I want to, I don't know, run a mile. I don't know, not run away from it, but like in the Rocky Balboa type way, exercise. Exercise is good.
So the Hives make their debut. Yeah, great choice of the Hives. I think I've been mentioned a couple of times when people talk about memorable gigs and festivals in particular, where they say like they've kind of been blown away, but they've never been chosen before until now. So nice one for picking the Hives. They're your pre-headline act, and so they're going to be a hard act to follow. So they'll play from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We'll take one more half hour break, then you get one more act to put on your headline act to get to play for 2.5 hours at your very own Pandemonium Fantasy Festival. So Sean, some amazing acts so far, one act left. So who is going to headline Pandemonium?
It is the amazing Icelandic princess that is Björk. I absolutely love Björk, and I have since, or is it Björk? I think it's Björk. I think she's incredible. I've seen her live. It was at Connect Festival in 2007. It was in Scotland. I think it was like the only time she ever played Scotland, I think. Might have been. I might be wrong there, but it's always, every time I've ever seen gigs, it's always London. I'm like, I don't know if I can go all the way to London after spending like 200 quid on a ticket to get to see her first. But it was amazing. It was the best festival experience I think I've ever had. I like about Björk as well. I'm trying to say it right. I don't want her, you know, she might not even come on my, you know, come on to my festival if I keep getting her name wrong. But thing about Björk is that, like, every album, she's kind of used different musicians and it's had a different flavour, if you will. Because I've watched countless live performances from each, like, album period. And when I saw her, she was doing... It was when she was doing, like, stuff with Timbaland and things like that. So there was lots of really interesting sounds and choirs, and there was a reactable. Have you ever seen one of those? It's like I haven't ever seen it since, but it was amazing to watch because it even had a screen that showed you what the person was doing on the thing. But it was like this circular drum thing that has some lights on it, and there's wee stone pebble things that have little symbols on them, and it was like a synthesizer, but you'd put the stone on it and it would, like, a line would go to it, and then she'd twist it. Or, well, she wouldn't twist it, but whoever was doing it would twist it, and then it would change the waveform, and it was just, it was amazing. And this was one of those festivals as well. I wasn't doing anything that I shouldn't have been doing. It was all above board. I think I'd only had one drink. So I know it was really good as well. Yeah. And it was one of those experiences as well that I think it's the reason I love music, is the feeling. When I was there, it just... like nothing, absolutely nothing mattered when I was there. It was like an out-of-body experience. I sound like a maniac, but it is. It was like that. It was just insane. I don't think I've ever felt that way since, and I never felt that way before. It was something else, and there was all these other people sharing it with me, and I remember, like, speaking to people in the crowd and stuff, and I'm not really like that. I don't really speak to other people if I can help it. So I don't know. It was just one of the most amazing things. And, like, hearing the way she, because she also seemed to do Hyper Ballad, her song, which is incredible. But at the end of it, it turned into this massive techno dance track, and it was, and everybody's going mental. I don't know. It was everything. And I want that to happen at Pandemonium. I want that experience again. I know I'm chasing the dragon here, but I think it would be as close. It would be still fantastic. You know, I think even though I'm trying to recreate an experience, but I think as well, it's been about 14, 15 years since I saw her. So she's had a lot more music out. Mm. So I would think it would be a different experience, which is quite good. And I've grown as a person. So there's that as well.
That was amazing. You've articulated that really well about how, like, music can make you feel, and that festival vibe that makes them so so special. So Björk plays Pandemonium. She can play the exact same set that you saw her. Again, it's your fantasy festival. You can have her doing current day stuff, or you can have her doing exactly the same as you saw her. All up to you. But Björk will play for 2.5 hours, so she gets a bit of time to do whatever you want her to do at Pandemonium. She'll play to 11 o'clock. When that clock strikes 11, though, she'll welcome back on stage The Hives, Test Icicles, Wild Beasts, and Nina Simone, which is an amazing array of talent you've got. Very varied talent on your stage as well, and they all get to play any song ever for your encore to close your fantasy festival. So this will be quite interesting. Obviously, your podcast is all about the songs, and this element of the fantasy festival is all song-based. So I guess there have probably been many contenders. So what song are you going to have for your encore, Sean?
Yeah, well, I was going to... Because Frightened Rabbit are my favourite band of all time, and I wanted Frightened Rabbit so bad, but I went for a song because I started thinking, like, I was like, yes, but I don't know if this suits all these bands. I was like, I need to find a song that's going to suit everyone. It's going to feel great at the end of the night. Now, I don't know how well known this song will be, but it's by... So I want everyone to listen to it that hasn't listened to it. It's by a band called Slime City. They're a three-piece band from Glasgow, and they're fronted by Michael M., whose solo music is amazing, by the way. And they have, like, sometimes they have this shoe that they've done something to, and they, like, twist knobs on it and it makes noises. It's pretty cool. But they have a song called, I feel weird saying this, but it's called You and Everybody That You Love Will One Day Die, right? And but I do kind of have a reason. I think it makes sense. Yes, it's a song, first of all, that you can sing along to. It's fast. I'd love to hear a whole stadium of people shouting, "You're gonna die." But it's a song that I like. It's a song that's really personal. Like, it's been really personal to me recently, and I don't know, like, I don't know if it's intended this way, but it's like, I find it really comforting because I have like terrible health anxiety, right? I'm like a hypochondriac, but I don't go to the doctors that often for it. I just worry all the time. Every twinge is a heart attack. But so I worry about death a lot, right? And it's just like, sometimes I'll put this on if things get overwhelming, and it kind of like gets, the song's kind of talking about how you shouldn't like take it all so seriously, because we are all going to die. It's just, it's going to happen to everybody, and it sucks, but there's really nothing we can do about it. But for some reason, it's a song that balances me out, and I would love to hear a whole, you know, airfield full of people just screaming it as loud as they could. And I think it would suit everyone in my festival as well, because you've got screaming, you could have Test Icicles and The Hive screaming away, you could have Bjork and Nina Simone doing the main bits, you have the Wild Beasts giving it all, that kind of stuff. It would be amazing. I love, like, it's honestly, it's just, it's a song I think is just amazing. And it's weird that, like, it's one of those songs as well that I think it's crazy that it's not everywhere. Like, I think that with a lot of indie bands and stuff. It's frustrating, but it's just because of the way the system works and everything, and because there's so much music out there that it's hard to get it, you know, hard to hear it all. But, like, it's one of those songs I think should be massive. And it does something to me. It's really personal to me. I find it amazing. I don't, you might hear it and go, "That is insane. What a weird, weird man." But it really, I love it. And I want everyone to be singing it.
Well, they will be at Pandemonium. They'll be singing it away. Is that song is the one that closes your fantasy festival. So Sean, let's lock it in, so you can still change your mind up until the point we lock it in, which we're going to do now. So we have got Pandemonium 2022 taking place in the Aschig airstrip. I can't remember my own writing.
Aschig.
Yeah. There's a rogue Aschig airstrip in my writing in the Isle of Skye. In the opening act slot, we've got Nina Simone. Super second slot, we've got Wild Beasts. Midway Madness, we've got Test Icicles, and they're going to play their album For Screaming Purposes Only in full. Your pre-headline slot, we've got The Hives. And headlining, we've got Bjork. And for your encore, all five of your acts are going to play You and Everybody That You Love Will One Day Die. That sounds like an amazing fantasy festival. I'm very excited about listening to that song. Sean, are you happy to lock that in? Is that your fantasy festival done and dusted?
I'm so happy, actually. I'm happier than I thought I would be after actually speaking about them. I'm pretty happy, especially with the song. I'm very happy with the song. I don't know why.
So that's it. So before, I guess, we wrap this up, Sean, what the next couple of like months look like for you? I guess the podcast, you've spoken about the importance of the podcast for your own kind of mental health and the way you find doing it, you love it. It's like an obsession that we've kind of spoken about. More podcasts to come out from you?
Oh, yes. There will be hundreds more podcasts. I can't stop. It is honestly, it's an addiction. I love it. I love it with all my heart. And people give me so many amazing recommendations for music. And I've met so many amazing people through it, because I think I will have talked about this in my recent podcast, of my one. But like 10 years ago or something, when I was on Twitter, I was one of the horrible bastards. I wasn't like terrible, but I was, you know, I'd say like bad stuff. I'd moan about things that I didn't like. Whereas somebody changed my mind on a podcast. I can't remember who it was, but they said, "Why are you?" I think they were talking about something else. Obviously, they weren't talking about me. This is because we didn't know each other. But said, "Why are you putting so much energy into something you don't love when you could be using that energy to promote something you do love?" And that just changed my mind. And I just, now anytime I feel like saying something bad about someone, I stop and I think, you know what really deserves this energy? Like the Slime City song that I was talking about. It's maybe that I could promote, I could say something nice about that. And I've also noticed that if you are nice to people, people are nice to you. Yeah. And that's a very, it's a simple thing, but it's sometimes it's hard to do in real life, but when you do it, it honestly, your life improves 100%, because my life is so much better than it used to be.
That's great to hear. So if anyone listening and hasn't heard the podcast before, Sean, let's give it a plug in. So social media, a massive thing, most people are on there. I'm sure the podcast, well, I know you are in the podcast. So how do people find you on social media if they're looking for you, Sean?
I'm on Twitter at Panda Sean. I think I'm on Instagram, Four Songs and a Dream. I don't really use it that often, but you can find me there. I think that's it. I don't really use Facebook. I find it a nightmare, and it makes me hate my auntie. So, you know, yeah.
So Four Songs and a Dream, available on all good streaming platforms. If you like the Fantastical and you're listening to this, you will also very, very much like Sean's marvellous podcast. So go and have a listen to that. So that is the end of this episode. Thank you for everyone for listening to the Fantastical podcast. And if you've enjoyed this one, please go and subscribe on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a review as well if that is the platform you use. If it's not, go and give us a follow on the other platforms that you may listen on, like Spotify or Anchor. And please recommend this podcast to all of your friends and families. Sean is on Twitter. So is the Fantastical podcast. So give us a follow at FantasticalP. And if you're not on Twitter and you want to get in contact with the podcast, you can drop us an email at fantasticalpodcast@outlook.com. Unfortunately, on podcasts, we can't play music, but I'll get a playlist. I'll get some tracks together from Sean. We'll get a playlist together, and that'll be in your episode description. So if you're listening now and you want to listen to some of the acts that Sean has spoken about, scroll down on your episode description. There'll be a lovely Spotify playlist waiting for you to go and listen to that. So massive thank you to the guests in this episode. Sean, I said at the beginning, always the host, never the guest. How have you found being a guest, and how have you found collating your own fantasy festival?
Oh, well, I mean, I really enjoyed doing it, actually, because it was kind of interesting to find out why I liked certain bands or what I liked about them, because I recently done my own four songs on my Four Songs and a Dream, and that was quite interesting to find out what four songs are important to me and why. But like, this is a different ballgame, because it's, you know, seeing someone live and listening to them a CD is two completely different things. Like, because you can love a band on a CD but absolutely hate them live. I've had that before, as I said. But I mean, it's been really, really good. And you've been so patient with me. I'm very ranty and, like, nervous, chatty. But I've really, I've really enjoyed it, actually. It's nice to sort of speak to someone who's really, really kind.
Thank you very much. And you've been a great guest. You've done really well. And I know how difficult it is going from host to guest. So you've been amazing. So thank you for taking the time out. And I look forward to watching and listening to Four Songs and a Dream go from strength to strength. So that's it. Like I said, I'll be back soon in the next episode of the Fantastical podcast. But please make sure to join me. But until then, stay safe, my Fantastical friends. And please continue to spread the word. And that word is Fantastical. Thanks for listening.